Father, and we thank you, Lord, for the great words of Silent Night. With the dawn of redeeming grace, salvation is a new day. Lord, and for the believer, every day is a new day, and your mercies are new every day. Lord Jesus, may we see, because it's already there, open our eyes and our spirits, Lord, to the mercy that you have for each one of us today. We thank you, Lord, for your touch upon Kay Ludwig. We pray, Lord, that you would restore her body and that you would touch her, Lord, in many ways that she could never anticipate. Thank you, Lord, for your touch on Marianne, Lord, with the extraction, and pray that you would heal this infection by your sovereign hand. Lord, touch our beloved Wendy, Lord Jesus, today as she's here. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for each life is so precious in your sight, because to you, we are all children, Lord God, and you never, never looked away from them. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Let's sing Emmanuel one more time. How many like the lights off with the tree on? Not going to do that through the message because you might fall asleep. Then you got to wake up later for turkey. The amen of Advent. The men that made a difference, even if they realized it or not. Some were well known to history. We talked about prior, Augustus Caesar, very well known in the history books. Then you had King Herod. Now, he was in a class all of his own. He's well known to history. Now, the third one is the innkeeper. Can you imagine the Lord putting in the story, an innkeeper, but you don't really know who he is? There's no name. There's not even any description of what he did. To be so important in a storyline, and your name is not listed, nor is anything that you do. This is the glory of God, by the way. How many people in the Bible, you don't know their name? You don't need to know their name. God knows their name. God knows who they are. And when we think about this individual, whoever he would have been, he would have been busy doing the things he needed to do. Of course, that's what an innkeeper would do. But the inn of the New Testament is a little different than country suites or our Holiday Inn, etc. First of all, the Hebrew people mainly, in their hospitality, would open up their homes to travelers. And they would have what was called the upper room, where people would go. Now, maybe you stick people in your attic, I don't know, but they would go up for the most part. But they did have inns for occasional travelers, like, for instance, when you had a major feast, festival, when everyone had to come into town, you had to have room for people, and you had to have a place for them to stay. That's why this story is so important, because of the census, they had to go to the city where their family name was registered. And of course, you can't accommodate. It's like the, I can't remember when it was, it seemed to me it was in about 1980. We went up to the North Shore area. Actually, we're praying about starting a church at that time, and went up there, and there wasn't one place available where we went. You know why? Because there was an all-town school reunion. Everybody that had ever gone to school and in that area was in town that weekend. There was literally no room in the inn. I'm telling you. And so we ended up in a place that was horrible. Thank you very much. But we got through it. It was just terrible. But anyhow, the inn was for kind of the overflow, more than likely. But if you remember in the book of Acts, remember the day of Pentecost? Bible says they were in where? Upper room. The place where the travelers and where the guests would be. Because they had so many in town for the festival of Pentecost that they chose an upper room, something people would be familiar with in terms of their traveling, in terms of the guests. And I believe with all my heart that even though this story in the inn here is not in the upper room, God elevated that lower place to be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The Lord can take any room, any shanty, any mansion, any phone booth, and he can make it heaven if he's there. Never get stuck into where you are or what your name is, because the glory is God's, not ours. He can transform anything. And so in the homes, they generally had people stay with them. Now, there was also places called like a caravansary. It was a large square edifice that was built around an inner courtyard. There was usually a well inside for water, and they would gather there. They believe that the inn in the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, probably was this one. And the Hebrew or the Greek word should be up here, pandochian, and it means a public house for the reception of travelers. The whole story of Advent is for travelers. And guess what, folks? We are not permanent residents here. We are actually travelers. Now, I don't care to travel. You know that. If they could put wheels under my house, I would appreciate it. But we are really travelers in life. We are citizens of another town, of another place, where, by the way, there's no taxes. Yippee-doo. But in this particular case, what they would have is an upper room with little guest rooms, and then in the bottom part or in the base part would be the place for the animals and the stalls and things like that. That'd be in the lower area. There was another word, which is the word in this story, of the inn. And so we're going to read it just so we can. We read it every year. We love it every year. Don't you still love the Bible story of the Advent? Why don't you stand to honor the Word of God? And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You may be seated. So there was no room in the inn that was there. They had to find lodging. Now, if you were pregnant and ready to give birth, you would be happy for any roof over your head, wouldn't you? You would be glad if it was a truck. Or, I mean, you'd prefer a hospital, but, you know, if you're in that situation, you're going to prefer whatever's available. And she's not going to complain. She's going to be glad that God gives her this. So the inn itself, there's a variety of kinds, but probably this one, they are in the stall. They are in the place where the animals come, which I find interesting because second point is the inn thing. The Lord had to put it and bring him to a place that would, of course, reveal from prophecy. And you remember in Luke 2 where it's talking, the angel's talking to the shepherds, and he tells them, go there because you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, won't that be an unusual child? Won't that be an unusual thing? It will be a definite sign and indication that something different is happening here. And the shepherds, who would understand fully animals, they would be probably more comfortable in a place where the animals are taken care of here. And he said, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths. This is like bandaged, stripped cloths as it covers the baby to protect the child. It also, in my mind, is a reminder of all of the strips of cloth like a bandage, because he bore our sins and he was bruised for our iniquities, for our wounds. And it's a reminder that Jesus came because we had a whole lot of wounds, didn't he? And only he could heal them. And so they come into a place and he says, shepherds, you're going to find a baby wrapped in these cloths, lying in a manger. And the word manger, phatne, in the Greek means a stall or a manger, but it really is a feeding trough for animals. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is placed in a feeding trough. Does that offend your sensibilities? Doesn't offend mine, because it reminds me that he is the manna. He is the bread of life. He is that one upon whom we feed and we receive our life. Makes total sense to me that he would be put there. Now, it's also important because it shows prophecy. And God often does things unusually. How do I know that? Look at your neighbor in the chair here. And you look at them and you go, yeah, God works unusually. You know. You know, and yes, with Jerry, he needed extra work. But we know, yes. I knew I'd get an amen out of you. But while the manger here, the feeding trough, is not in a comfortable spot, I mean, maybe you like the smell of animals. I don't know. I don't particularly care for them. I love them, but I don't care for the sights and sounds, we'll say. Not the most comfortable, but it didn't matter. Because when the holy presence of God and heaven open up, that transposes the situation and changes it. See, this is why no matter where we come from, no matter what our life has been, no matter how many wounds have been inflicted, it doesn't matter. Because when the shadow of the Holy Spirit comes on it, he changes the entire sense. The whole situation adjusts perfectly because he makes up the difference for what we lack. And we lack significantly, don't we? See, in this story, the Lord was not looking for a spectacle. He was looking for a receptacle. That's what he wants. He's looking for someone in the lowliest place of life, or it could be somebody in a high place. It doesn't matter about your particular situation. But in your spirit, there is nobody that's going to come to the Lord in a highfalutin place, because the Lord doesn't do that. He humbles us and allows us that presence. Why was he in there? I find it interesting that one of the reasons occurs to me why he was not born in the guest chamber is because he doesn't plan on being a guest. Now, when guests come to your home, you throw everything in the closet, and you clean it all up so everything looks nice. But everybody knows, probably, everything's underneath something. Not everybody, but you know. I do remember many years ago when somebody unexpected was coming over and we literally threw the entire garbage can in a closet to get it out of the way because we couldn't get out. He's at the door, you know. What are you going to do, throw it out the window? The Lord is not intending to be a guest. If he's a guest in our home, he ain't there. Because he's the Lord of the manor. He's the Lord of the house. And we ought to treat him like that. Now, he was in there because of the census. Remember, there's another census coming, and it's an eternal census. And your name is not going to be plugged in when you get to the presence of God. If it's not plugged in ahead of time, it ain't happening. Because when you get, it's like when you go to a restaurant, say, I have a reservation. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. You argue with them because you called ahead of time. Well, they didn't write it down, or you didn't call. Or you called the wrong restaurant and you're at the wrong restaurant. This roll call in eternity is written in the blood of Jesus, and it's written in our lifetime. And when that last breath happens, like it did for Kay Mickelson this week, there was no more opportunity for her name to go in. Thankfully, it went in 8 years ago. And she knew it. And she was so overjoyed. And she loves this church, by the way. She's so grateful. She was so grateful to have prayer warriors and people that love her and didn't forget her. Very much important. We are going to be summoned to that roll call. And it's not going to be in a stall, and it's not even going to be in a guest house. It's going to be in the King of Kings palace, in his presence. And it's a very serious thing. But you remember when they came for the census, they came because they had to go to where their family was registered. So the important thing to keep in mind here is when one day when our eyes close or the rapture happens, whatever happens, when we go before the presence of God, he's going to say, are you in my family? Is your family name registered here? Do you know for a fact your name is there? That's the important thing. And it's my prayer everyone in this room knows that, everyone in the sound of my voice, because you never know what a day may bring forth. Kay Ludwig didn't know this week that for a very short time she would be out of this earth. And the Lord, and they brought her back. And the gentleman who was there, which I think is hilarious, told her, because she called him and he said, you know what happened when they brought you back? Your eyes wide open, big smile like Kay has. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, I must have fallen asleep. Only Kay would apologize when she's just arrested, you know. But had she not been at that imaging place, if she'd have been at home or somewhere else where they couldn't attend to her, we wouldn't have her. The roll call is so important in the presence of God. And what God cares mostly about is we go to the family seat, which is the mercy seat, to make sure our name is written there. When I was thinking about the innkeeper and all the important names in the story of the men in the Advent season, next week I'll be talking about Joseph, who I have great, deep respect for. And you don't see the name of the innkeeper and you don't know anything about this person. You know why? I believe it's because the Lord wants us to superimpose our name in there. We need to be the innkeeper. We need to let him in. We need to make sure there's room in our life. In fact, not just room, clean the whole place. He cleans what we give him. So he's in there. God's not going to take just a little room or a little splice of life. When he died on the cross, he died 100%. And that's the kind of life he wants us to give. When you go into a hotel or inn or wherever you go, you have to do something. You have to sign in, don't you? Sign your little name. Hopefully everyone in this room signs their correct name and we have no aliases, but at any rate, as an innkeeper, you have to make sure the names and make sure your name is on the roll. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And guess what? God's not going to get anyone's name wrong. I was at a wedding where the preacher kept getting the groom's name wrong. And I thought, just stop it. You know, you aren't going to get the name wrong, right? Just hopefully it's correct on the paperwork. I'm so glad. I grew up in a house where they just said a name and hoped you responded to it half the time. You know, in fact, whatever your name is, that's what we were called on occasion. Yeah. God knows our name. He knows everything about us. He's intimately acquainted with everything. I'm glad there's no name here. I'm glad there's no background. I'm glad there's nothing, because God can fill it in our life, and he can build it to what is his intention for each of our lives. You know, when I was in Bible school, the dean of the school, he was a funny little old, we always called him the old general. He was about maybe 5 feet and put himself through school, was in school 22 years, night school. That's dedication. But he always said this. He said, you cannot lift up Jesus Christ and yourself at the same time. You can only lift up one person. And if you don't lift up Jesus, you're never going to be lifted up. Right? Only the Lord can lift up. So I'm grateful for the innkeeper. I'm sure he was very busy in what he did, even though in this case, he did not attend to the Son of God. The Lord left that to the angels and the heavenly hosts. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I hope in eternity, God does a flashback, shows us how it really was. Then the next thing, I want to see the devil get it. That, I think, would be really good. Bring your popcorn, folks. It's going to be a good thing. Pop goes the devil, yeah. This roll call that's coming is going to be for everyone that ever was on this earth. And like the storm we have out here, some people elected to stay home because of their concern. I understand that fully. I don't want anyone to fall or get hurt. You're not going to be able to say no when that roll call comes. Nobody's going to be able to say, oh, I'd rather do it tomorrow. No. That's going to be God's choosing. And that roll call is going to be specific. And do you know that we're all going to stand before him individually? Mm-hmm. You can't go in as a group and say, well, I'm with so-and-so, she's holy. Come in through the blood of Christ and through the name that's above every name, and the name that does change a stall and a feeding trough into the glory of God. Bow your heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for whoever this person was and however they participated. They wouldn't even have necessarily known. I mean, they would have known that the birth occurred, but they would not have understood the full meaning of it. And I'm glad, Lord, that you don't wait for us to understand it before you touch us. Because if you waited for that, we'd never get it. Lord, you understand perfectly the situation, and you took care of the problem so that our name would be in that census of eternity. And our name written in the blood of Christ would be the most important thing. You do not want to be a guest or a temporary resident in our life. You seek only to be the Lord and the master of our life. And if we've given our life to you, that's wonderful. But Lord, more than that, we need to give you every part of our life. Because Lord, it's only what you hold on to and you take care of that will be blessed and honored. What we get a hold of, we'll probably mess it up. We need you to hold it and to grow it and to change it. And Father, I pray, Lord, that your word, the entrance of it, which brings eternal light, Lord, would be a change in our heart today for what we need. And if there's any that are here and would say, I'm concerned that if I were to have my last breath today, I don't know if my name is on that roll call. It won't be there because of my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, or my brother, or my sister. It'll be there if I've asked the Lord to be the captain of my life and the savior of my soul. There's a blank spot, and if your name needs to be written in today, I just want to make sure everyone has opportunity. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. If you're here, you raise your hand so I can pray for you. I just want to make sure everybody's ready for the presence of God, because we just don't know. Father, I pray for these hands, Lord, that have gone up, that, Lord Jesus, it seems like, why would we even mess with that? But God, because eternity depends upon it, that's why. And because you died for us and you gave your life a ransom for many. And there's no sense in having a gift under the tree that we don't open and partake of. And if Jesus died for me and I don't partake of it, then that gift will never change me. So I pray, Lord, that you would make it real to these that have risen their hands today. Lord, and touch them with a new life in Jesus Christ. God, we thank you today. Lord, you're not looking to be the guest. You're looking to be the host. You're looking to be the owner of the property. Lord Jesus, let us each give you full room in our life. And I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this last song, if you want to come up to say, Lord, I am giving over my whole life. Maybe there's part you haven't or something. Feel free to come up and stand, and then we will pray, and then we'll go on to our lunch. You may stand. He left his throne so we could get off of ours, okay, and let him live through us. We invite everyone to stay for potluck. You may want to eat a little quick in case with the stuff out there, but please stay and enjoy turkey and dressing and potatoes and anything else that has been brought in. Now, who am I going to ask to close in prayer? I should just choose somebody that looks really nervous. No, I wouldn't do that. I will ask Norm to come up and to close in prayer. We love Norm and his family. Yes.
Eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to come into your presence, just praising and glorifying your holy name. I pray, Father, that as we leave today, that we don't leave you behind, but come to a deeper understanding of who you are and what you want to do in our lives. We thank you, Father, for this meal that you've brought before us, Lord, as we take it to our bodies. I just pray, Father God, that we also take a deeper growth in Jesus Christ into our spirits. Amen.